This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a look at conservation efforts in Kenya with the Cincinnati Zoo's Thane Maynard. First up, those who paid into the Social Security system during their working years have several decisions to make about their retirement. An individual can start collecting benefits as early as age 62 or as late as age 70. But when you start collecting those benefits is going to affect the amount of money you get. And there are other things to take into consideration, including spousal benefits that could dramatically change the total amount you receive. Joining us to look at the ins and outs of Social Security retirement are Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff, President, Professor of Economics at Boston University, and co-author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets of Maxing Out Your Social Security, and local financial advisor Chris DeSimio. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris and Larry, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's always a distinct pleasure to be here, Mark.
Ken, how much are people leaving on the table by failing to claim everything they're entitled to? Ken, are you still with
Larry,
us?
Larry.
Or Larry, excuse me. I don't know why Ken stuck in my head. Larry, how much are people leaving on the table by failing to claim everything they're entitled to? That was an odd one.
They're leaving Friday. They're leaving a ton of money. There's something like 12 different benefits that you can collect, including your retirement benefit. So there's spousal divorcee benefits, spousal benefits. There's widow benefits, widow divorcee benefits, child benefits, mother and care, child and care, spousal benefits, mother benefits, father benefits, parent benefits, and people don't know about these benefits, nor do they know about how to take them. That's why we wrote the book, and it's important because you could be leaving $50,000 on the table, $120,000 on the table. We have a calculation where one household, by doing the wrong thing, is leaving about $400,000 on the table.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Larry, in your book, this Get What's Yours, Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, a lot of times these books are kind of dry and they're full of calculations. And this is an eminently readable, easy to digest, and entertaining, I might add. You get right to the heart of the issue by talking about a tennis game and how this game of tennis turned into an additional $50,000. How'd that happen?
Well, it's not because it was written just by me. I'm an economist, and you know, economists are supposedly deadly dull. The definition of an economist is somebody who's good with numbers but doesn't have the personality to be an actuary. So I teamed up with Paul Solomon and Phil Mueller. Phil is a personal finance columnist, but Paul's a really funny guy, a guy with a real good sense of humor. He's the personal the economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, so many of your listeners will know instantly the name Paul Solomon from watching the PBS NewsHour over the years, and he's one of the three co-authors. So we're having playing tennis, and Paul and I take a break because he was thrashing me, and I needed to take it easy, and I asked him what's going on with the Social Security. He says, don't bother me because I know everything about it. I said, Paul, what's going on? This went on for like 10 times. He finally told me the ages of himself and his wife. I said, Paul, in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to make you $50,000 by getting you free spousal benefits, and you're going to buy dinner. And he says, okay. And I did. And he bought me dinner. And the trick was, in his case, for his wife to, you need to have your spouse file for his or her retirement benefit in order for you to file for a spousal benefit on that person's record. So in his case, his wife was a little bit older, so she filed for her retirement benefit, which you can do after full retirement age. So right at full retirement age, she files for her retirement benefit and then suspends its collection. So she lets her benefit continue to grow up through age 70 when it stops growing. So she's going to take her maximum benefit at age 70. Paul, meanwhile, can file because once he hits full retirement age, 66 in his case, gets to file just for his spouse benefit, which is going to be equal to half of his wife's full retirement benefit, and then he can still let his own retirement benefit grow till 70 to be as large as possible. So he was in the process of just waiting. He and his wife were going to wait till 70 and collect the benefits then, and knew nothing about spouse benefits. What I told them allowed Paul to collect $12,500 a year, approximately, for 4 years, $50,000 in total, just by filing just like perfectly safely. All he had to do was walk into the Social Security, call them on the phone, and say, "I want to file for my spousal benefit," and that check started coming in. And again, his wife had to file and suspend. She had to be on record as having registered with the system to collect her benefit.
Boy, that's amazing. Just by taking a few simple steps, he was able to collect that much more.
Yeah, and there's stories. You know, I made $120,000 from my friend Glenn Lowry. We discussed this in the book. Hey, we're having dinner. It's good, good sushi restaurant, very expensive. He chose the restaurant. I said, "Glenn, what are you going to do about your benefits?" He says he's going to take his retirement benefit at 70. His wife had passed away about 2 years before at 58. I said, "Glenn, do you think you can get widow's benefit on Linda's record?" "Absolutely not. I made more money than she did." "Glenn, do you think you can collect on her record?" "Absolutely not." I hear, 5 times later, after I asked this question 5 times, he said, what am I missing?" I said, "Glenn, I'm going to make you $120,000 and you're going to pay for dinner. Deal?" He said, "Deal." 2 minutes later, he had $120,000. All he had to do was file for this widower benefit that he knew nothing a lot about. And again, he can collect his own retirement benefit at 70 without it being reduced by the fact that he collects his widower benefit between full retirement age and 70 in his case. The friend Dana, who I just made $15,000 for his child benefits, he's 68. He was waiting till 70. Again, he files and suspends. Now the children who are still in high school can collect a child benefit on this retired worker's work record. So there was $15,000 for Dana. Had I, I'm going to force him to buy me dinner too, but had I talked to him a couple years earlier, I could have made him more like $45,000. So I'm kicking myself for not having brought this up with him. So we felt that it wasn't fair for some people to get their benefits, what they paid for, and others not, just based on who they knew, whether they knew me or somebody else who was knowledgeable about the system. And so that's what led us to write the book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk with Marty in Gulf Manor. Hi, Marty.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is that I am a teacher and I teach part-time. So when you teach and you get state teachers' retirement money, you don't get Social Security. But because I teach part-time, I don't pay full-time into the system. So I'm just wondering how that works. I've had many other jobs and paid Social Security, so do I still get that money?
Good thing we have Larry Kotlikoff in here. I happen to have a copy of his book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, and I can turn to page 198 and look at chapter 15, which says government pensions and windfall penalties. But thanks to the fact that Larry's here, he can
answer the question.
Explain it to you. And you don't even have to buy him dinner, Marty. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. You're subject to the windfall elimination provision in collecting your own retirement benefit, and also subject to the government pension offset in collecting benefits based on your current spouse's work record and also based on any former spouse, ex-spouse, to whom you were married for 10 or more years. So in terms of the windfall elimination provision, it reduces – there's a special formula that's applied for people like you who are getting a pension from non-covered employment. Now, the extent to which that windfall elimination kind of gotcha is applied depends on how many years you were working in covered employment, actually paying, working in jobs, whether part-time or full-time, in which you actually paid, Social Security taxes. Now, if you have 30 years of covered employment with substantial earnings, and this year the level of substantial earnings is around $22,050, then you're out from under the windfall elimination provision. If you have fewer years of substantial earnings, then you get hit by it. And it can reduce your retirement benefit significantly, and that can also affect the benefit that your spouse can collect on your record. It won't affect your spouse's widow benefit. The WEP is not – windfall elimination provision doesn't affect what your spouse will collect if you were to pass away on your work record, but it does affect the spousal and child benefit. So it's a little – kind of a nasty piece of work that most state teachers and other employees who are – not in Social Security don't really fully understand. And it's just part of the incredible complexity of the system. There's 2,728 rules in the handbook of Social Security. And then there's literally hundreds of thousands of rules about those rules in what's called the Program Operating Manual System. And they're written in nerd speak so that nobody can really understand what those rules are. So this is a bureaucrat's, you know, paradise. They're making rules system that nobody can understand. It's our basic savings system, and nobody can figure it out. It's really disgraceful.
Hey, Larry, just in general, who is eligible for Social Security retirement benefits? You have to have worked a certain amount of time, and how does that work exactly?
You have to have 40 quarters of covered earnings, so that means basically 10 years of that you've been paying Social Security taxes, but they don't have to be contiguous years. You could work for a couple of years and or a couple months even. It's based on it's quarters of the year, so if you have enough, you can even make quarters up within working kind of part of the year. You can get enough earnings that are subject to Social Security taxation so that you don't have to work the full year and still get four quarters.
Larry, let's say that Marty goes to Social Security, actually walks into the office or gets on the phone with them and asks a question such as that. Well, actually, to use an example from your book, she walks in. At what point should someone be cautious about dealing or at least taking as the final answer what they hear from the person they happen to get at Social Security? And is it true that sometimes that the Social Security handbook encourages employees to get claimants to sign something right then and there on the spot?
Well, I don't know if the it may be that the staff is somehow incentivized to sign you up right away just in order to get to look better to their employers so they get a bonus at the end of the year or a better job down the road. But you basically do not want to walk into Social Security or call them on the phone without knowing exactly what you want to do. You cannot trust Social Security. The system is too complicated for the limited staff that they have. They're overwhelmed. They tend to be adamant about what you can and can't do, and they're often adamantly wrong. They're pounding the table saying you can't do something when it's exactly the wrong thing. For example, I got emails every day from people that go to Social Security who started their retirement benefit early. Now they're at full retirement age. They have the option to suspend their benefit at full retirement age and start it up again at 70 at a 32% higher level, because they will have foregone the benefit for 4 years from 66 to 70, and it'll be 32% higher adjusted for inflation. Now, there's one person after the other at Social Security just telling people that this can't be done, that this isn't permitted, when in fact it is permitted. So the last person I interacted with called one person, was told that, then he called another person and was told the truth. Because he contacted me, I said, absolutely, you have this right to do it. Call somebody else. Or have that person you called, put them on the phone with me. This is why we wrote the book, because we're trying to make sure that everybody is well-armed before they deal with Social Security. Social Security, I think, about 40% of the time is giving seriously wrong advice. It's either dead wrong or they're confusing people. These questions are very complicated. The system is the basic formula for Social Security benefits at age A for somebody who's a spouse involves 10 mathematical functions. One's in four dimensions. One's got minimum and maximums involved. You cannot make this thing more complicated unless you tried. Even if you tried, you could not make it. Well, somebody tried, and they succeeded. Let me put it that way.
So Larry, it's a case that the Social Security people, they're not going to figure out what's right for you. You have to do that on your own. You have to be prepared ahead of time and know exactly what you want.
Yeah. They don't have any software that can deal with your family situation. They don't know if you're married. They don't know if you have kids. They don't know if your child is disabled or disabled before 22, which makes them eligible for collecting child benefits. They don't know if you had an ex or whether you're married for 10 years or whether you had four exes married to 10 years each. Yeah. You have to tell them, and you have to know ahead of time what it is that they owe you, because we've been paying 12.4% of our pay year in and year out in FICA taxes. Our employer has been sending checks for every $100, I've been sending $12.4, $12.40 down to Washington from age 16 on. And we've been promised these different benefits, and now it's time to collect what they promised us. Now, this is not to say that Social Security can afford all the benefits that they promised. That's a whole different subject. The system, to my mind, my co-authors differ on this, but we have a debate about the future of Social Security in the back of the book. But I read the Social Security trustees report to say that the system is 33% underfinanced, quite broke, in far worse shape than the Detroit pensions, for example, when they went under. So that we have a big long-term problem with the system's financing. But I think that for current beneficiaries or people that are 55 and older, or maybe even 50 and older, it's unlikely that anything's going to be changed for them, because it's politically too much dynamite for any politician from either party to suggest modifying any of the benefit rules.
We'll have more advice on maximizing your Social Security retirement income. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And it really doesn't take long to do your part to support 91.7 WVXU or 88.5 WMUB during this spring fun drive. Just make that phone call, 513-419-7155. Contribute online at WVXU.org or WMUB.org. And thank you so much for supporting us. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, along with financial advisor Chris DeSimio. We're talking about the ins and outs of Social Security retirement income with Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff, professor of economics at Boston University and co-author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Larry, you know, we talk about maximizing benefits. Makes me feel maybe a little bit guilty, like I'm milking the system or something, but that's not the right attitude, is it?
Well, I think, first of all, you pay for these benefits. Somebody legislated these benefits for them not to tell you about what you paid for and what you're eligible to collect is basically hitting you with an illegal tax, in my view. But the other thing that's very important to say is that the vast majority of the gains and benefits that we're discussing in the book aren't coming at the system's expense. Let me be clear about this. Suppose you're, to make it very simple, a 62-year-old who was never married and is not going to get married. So the only benefit in question here is the retirement benefit that you're going to collect. If you collect it at 62, it's going to be much lower than at 70. If you collect it at 70, it will be 76% higher over and above any adjustment for inflation. So if you wait till 70, you'll be collecting a check, opening a check every month at 76% higher, and you may make it to 100. So how good will that feel if you make it, you know, if you live and live and live, and every month it's 76% higher than had you started the benefit at 70, at 62. Now, what that will have done is insured you against life's biggest risk. And life's biggest risk is not dying, because if you die, you get to go to heaven. Life's biggest risk really is living, and living to a very old age, like 100, and having to live on very little income because you've run out of money. So Social Security is really an insurance system, a longevity insurance in large part. And what we're saying is people should understand the value of this. It can be quantified. Economists like myself can figure out how much it's worth to have that insurance. And it's worth a whole lot. And it doesn't come at the system's expense, because there's some chance you're going to die before 70 or, you know, relatively shortly thereafter, in which case Social Security will end up not having paid out a whole lot to you. But just like any insurance system, you want to be covered against the worst-case scenario. So take homeowner's insurance. You buy homeowner's insurance to cover you for your house burning down. You only have one house you only have one house. You don't have 1,000 houses that may or may not burn down, so you can't play the averages here. You can't worry about think about break even. Will you break even by buying the policy or not? Because you only have one house that could burn down. You want to be covered 100%. Here, you only have one life to lose, and you could lose it at 100. So you want to be covered against that circumstance, and that means buying this insurance. And buying the insurance in this context would be giving up a relatively low benefit for 8 years to collect a much higher benefit, 76% higher benefit, for the next possibly 30 years. That's why the system, that's of enormous economic value to you. And we can measure that and do talk about that, the size of that dollar-wise in the book. And it doesn't come at the cost of the system because, again, you may pass away and you'll get nothing from the system because you have died before you started collecting your check. Just like you may not be fortunate enough to have your home burned down and not collect on your life and your homeowner's insurance policy. But that's actually a good thing, okay?
Yeah. As you point out, Larry, the I in FICA is it's the Federal Insurance Contributions Act. So it really is kind of like an insurance policy.
Exactly. Let's talk with Dave in Lakeside Park. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. There's a common misconception if someone returns to work after they started collecting that they might forfeit benefits. But is it accurate that you don't forfeit it? It's just delayed until normal retirement when you can collect. Some people think you're going to lose that benefit totally if you exceed the annual limit of earnings.
Great question, Dave. Larry?
Well, very good question, and the answer is yes and no. With everything in Social Security, it's yes and no, or but. There's something called the adjustment of the reduction factor. We do discuss this in the book. And if you lose, let's say you start taking your benefits at 62, and then suddenly you get a new job that you didn't think you could get, and you go back to work, and now you start losing your benefits due to the earnings test. And Social Security will deduct, take away a dollar for every $2 of earnings, take away a dollar in benefits for every $2 you earn above something like $15,000 up through the year that you reach full retirement age, and then it's a somewhat different test. Once you hit full retirement age, there's no longer an earnings test. But also, if you lose benefits due to the earnings test before full retirement age, what will happen is at full retirement age, they will raise your retirement benefit to adjust for the fact that you lost benefits. So that's where your point, I forget the caller's name, comes in that there is a compensation. It's not lost for good. But the other thing that needs to be understood is that if you flip from a retirement benefit to a different benefit, like a widow's benefit, suppose you become widowed and or widower, you become a widower, and now you've lost your retirement benefits due to the earnings test, you come to full retirement age, they raise your retirement benefit, but you're now going to be taking your widow's benefit, and they're going to give you the larger of the two. So if the widow's benefit is the larger of the two, the fact that your retirement benefit is higher is of no value to you. So to some extent, for some people in some circumstances, the earnings test is not an earnings test. And for other people, it is. If they're going to flip from one benefit to another at full retirement age or even at 70, then we have a different situation where the earnings test has actually hurt them. So it's very individual specific.
Let's talk with Sandy in Hyde Park. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My situation is I'm retired, I'm 68, and I plan to take my retirement Social Security in 2 years. My husband is 62 and plans to work for 2 or 3 more years. You began the program, your guest began the program describing a scenario. I came in just a tissue.
The spousal benefit, right.
Yes, yes. And I would like if you would please go through that one more time.
Okay. Larry?
Thank you.
Okay. So if your husband, you said he's 62 and you're 68, if your husband were to wait till full retirement age, he can file just for a spousal benefit. You'll be at that point collecting your retirement benefit. So you would have, in effect, authorized him to collect a benefit off of your work record by having filed for your retirement benefit. He can then collect a half of your full retirement benefit from full retirement age through 70 and then collect his own benefit at its largest possible value. Now, here's the big concern. which is that if your husband were to try and take his spousal benefit right now, for example, you could file for your retirement benefit being 68, being above full retirement age, and suspend its collection and still wait till 70 to collect yours. And then your husband could file right now at 62 for his spousal benefit. But Social Security has all these gotchas, and we have a whole chapter detailing these gotchas. And one of the worst gotchas is called deeming. So Social Security, if he were to file just for his spousal benefit, he wouldn't be allowed to do that. He would be deemed to be filing also for his retirement benefit. And then Social Security would just give him the larger of the two benefits, which would most likely be his retirement benefit. So what would happen is if he were to try and get his spousal benefit right now at age 62, he would end up most likely losing his spousal benefit for good and forever, entirely, and then being stuck with a reduced retirement benefit for the rest of his life. That's a terrible gotcha. It's called the deeming gotcha. It's one of the 25 gotchas we detail in one of the chapters in the back of the book. And so you have to be very careful. So in your case, the optimal thing will be for your husband. I believe the optimal thing will be for your husband to wait till full retirement age, collect just his spousal benefit, and then at 70 collect his retirement benefit. In your case, you just wait till 70 to collect your retirement benefit. If you were a little bit younger and if your husband was a little bit older and he was a higher earner, it might be better for him to take his retirement benefit early and because he would be able to and have you just take your spouse benefit off of his record if you were the larger earner. So, and then he could suspend his benefit at full retirement age and start it up again at 70. So he could do what we call start, stop, start. He could start his benefit early in order to let you get your spousal benefit going off of his record, because I'm assuming he'd be the very higher earner. And then when he gets to full retirement age, he suspends and starts up again at 70. Meanwhile, you take your spousal benefit for 4 years, and at 70, you take your retirement benefit. That would maximize your family lifetime benefits in that context. So it's very much dependent on your ages, on how much you earned versus he earned. It's complicated, but the book is fun and easy to understand all this stuff. It's repetitive. We made it intentionally repetitive to make sure people got the message, so that at the end of the book they came away and knew exactly what to do. This is for most people their largest retirement asset. Most Americans just don't have an option not to understand what they're doing with Social Security, because it's just so much of their future income is at stake here that they have to take this very seriously and understand how to maximize their lifetime benefits.
And we know that talking numbers on the radio can be difficult to follow, but you will find links on the WVXU.org website where you can find more information.
I have to apologize for being so, I'm being very detailed in my answers here because
that's okay, Larry.
Yeah, and actually, Larry, in your book also, you have, and we don't need to name these other resources individually, but you do have a number of links in your book. Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. You have links in there to other resources that are available so that people can play with their own individual scenario themselves. Have you found generally that some of these are pretty good, or in general, without naming names, very good?
Well, okay, so I think you're referencing commercial software. Some are outstanding and some are really bad. Some are very dangerous. There are quick online calculators that that you can find on different commercial websites,
which shall remain nameless.
I'm not going to mention them. Investment companies or other kinds of entities that can give you highly misleading recommendations, and we discuss those calculators. And one of the worst places to look for a calculation of your benefit is actually Social Security's own website, where they have online calculators, because Social Security's calculators are predicated on two completely crazy assumptions. One is that the country will never experience any future inflation, and the other is that the country will never experience any future wage growth. So for somebody who's like 50, those two assumptions can produce a 20% underestimate of their future benefit. And if you're trying to figure out how to strategize, how do you and your spouse optimize your joint lifetime benefits, having one of the benefits being miscalculated by 20% and the other not, perhaps, because the other spouse might be older, that can lead to very bad strategy choices. So Social Security can't even get your benefit calculated correctly. And some software programs go to the trouble of reverse engineering Social Security's benefit estimates to make sure that the right number is being used in the software.
Coming up, more advice on maximizing your Social Security benefits, and Thane Maynard will give us a look at Kenyan conservation efforts. And we'll take your phone calls. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And it is so easy to do your part to support 91.7 WVXU. Again, that phone number to make your contribution during this spring fund drive is 419-7155. The websites are wvxu.org or wmub.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Chris DeSimeo and Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff are joining us with some advice for maximizing your Social Security retirement income. And let's talk with Linda. Good afternoon, Linda.
Hi. You have touched on some of my situation. The difference being I'm single, and I started taking my Social Security at 62, and I like the idea of suspending it until I'm 70. I have started working part-time jobs, and I'm also a real estate investor, so I have plans on having additional income within the next 6 months. And I just would like to know how that affects my Medicare. If I would suspend it, it is something like I'll have to get renege my Medicare and get some type of health insurance.
Great question, Larry.
No. Medicare is completely independent of Social Security. Your Medicare, you can start that at 65, and you have to pay the premiums. Now, as long as you're collecting Social Security benefits, they will, if you tell them to, this is like the default assumption, I believe, take out the Medicare Part B premium from your check every month. But once you reach full retirement age, if you do what you're saying you're going to do, which is suspend your benefit, then they no longer have a check from which to deduct your Medicare Part B premium. So you have to be sending them a check every month for the Medicare Part B premium. Otherwise, as we discuss in the book, it could well be that you're you're suspending your benefit and starting to collect it again at 70 could lead to no higher benefits. This is a fantastically huge gotcha that we learned about just accidentally from one of the top actuaries at Social Security, and I'm not even 100% that it's for sure, but he was absolutely, he's one of the top people there. And he said, absolutely, if you reach full retirement age, suspend your benefit, and they have no way to get your premium paid, and you don't send them a separate check, they will, without necessarily telling you, reactivate your benefit, undo the suspension, and you'll just go along for 4 years not collecting anything. And then at 70, not get a 32% higher benefit, but get the same level of benefit. That's about the nastiest thing possible, but that's exactly what this system does from what we were told. And so we wrote about it in the book. So there are these very, very nasty gotchas that the system has. These are like minefields, traps that have been laid to go and hurt innocent people. It's really appalling. The most ardent supporter of Social Security, and I'm an extremely ardent supporter of forcing people to save, having the government force people to save, having the government force people to have insurance, disability, and life insurance, and longevity insurance, all of which are part of Social Security. I'm a huge supporter of that. But the way this has been produced, designed and effected by this system over the years is just disgraceful. My co-authors disagree. Just to be clear, my co-authors strongly disagree. They think it's just the price of democracy to have all this complexity. I think that's silly.
Larry, we've got just a couple minutes left here. Can you kind of give us a summary, things that people should be doing, things that they should be thinking about to maximize their benefits?
Well, we have three general rules in the book. The first is be patient where it pays to be patient, because there's an enormous return to waiting to collect, in certain cases, your benefits. The second rule is be aware of all the benefits you can collect. For example, if I were to pass away, since I'm the main supporter of my 95-year-old mom, she could collect a parent benefit on my work record. As a survivor of surviving parents, she could collect 82.5% of my full retirement benefit. So be aware of all your benefits. That's point two. And point three is to time your benefits so that you're not taking two benefits at once. You take one benefit, let the other one grow. Because if you take two benefits at once or forced to be taking two at once, they'll just give you the larger of the two. They'll just wipe out one and give you the other. So you have to be strategic in terms of your timing. And things are very different for each person. Let me just give you one. I don't know if you have a second for.
Oh, yeah. We've got a bit of time here, about 45 seconds left. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me give you an example of something that where timing might not seem reasonable. I met a gentleman, a doctor, a terrific guy, at a dinner party about a year ago, and he's told me he had pancreatic cancer. He has just found out about it a couple months before, and he only has about 2 years left to live. So, and then somehow we got onto the subject of Social Security. He told me that he started taking Social Security, that he went to the Social Security office. They said, look, you got to take the benefit right away. We'll even give you back 6 months retroactively, because if you don't take a benefit, you're going to pass away and not have received anything. And I then talked to him a little bit more, and I told him that he'd been given the wrong advice, because what Social Security did not ask him about was his wife. His wife is 65. She did not have much of an earnings record. So by taking his benefit earlier than 70, because he's 68 and he could make it for two more years, he has left her with a lower widow's benefit for the rest of her life. So what he did is he went back to Social Security, he withdrew his benefit, he had to pay back what he had received. You have a year to withdraw your decision to file for your retirement benefit. And now he's waiting until 70. If he makes it that far, that long, he will produce a 16% higher benefit for his wife as a widow for the rest of her life.
Larry? Thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Larry and Chris, financial advisor Chris DeSimeo and Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff, professor of economics at Boston University, co-author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security.